Please join me in a spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as we said earlier in the service, today is Pentecost, the birthday of the church. Does anybody know when that took place? The day? The year? I didn't think so. And you don't need to feel bad because there's nobody on God's green earth who can tell us that. And frankly, Pentecost isn't so much about the birthday of the church as much as we like to think it is. Because it is not about us. Now, I know we like to make things about us. I know we like to argue. If we're working with some other people and trying to get a project done, we often have a view as to how things should unfold. And maybe we'll argue our point. Or maybe we'll just sit slowly in the corner and then critique things as they unfold. But we often like to make it all about us. And that is not what Pentecost is about. Pentecost is about the gift of the Holy Spirit to humanity. This is a really big deal. And I call today's sermon the Big Bang for a reason. Cosmologists tell us that the universe began about 15 billion years ago. And I'll give you the disclaimer now. I am not a cosmologist. I'm not an expert in anything, so don't take what I say to the bank here. But supposedly 15 billion years ago, the universe exploded from a little dot, which had all of the power and matter necessary to form everything around us. Think about that. Creation from nothing. Now, we cannot imagine what nothing is like. We can try. But if we try to imagine the universe with nothing in it, we'll fail. And the universe continues to expand. And there are different models of what's going to happen to the universe going forward. One theory suggests that things are going to keep expanding and expanding. And at some point, there will be absolutely nothing between anything else. Because things will be so far apart that light will not travel across the expanses, and galaxies will not be seen because you'll be too far away to see the light rays. Another theory suggests that the universe is going to implode. It's all going to come crushing back in on itself. Now, as I understand it, we do not need to worry about either of these events occurring during our lifetimes. We can destroy the universe ourselves. And this talk about the end of times has had a place in Christianity almost from the beginning. Eschatology, the end times, is something the church likes to focus on. And clearly we have not gotten a good handle on when things are going to happen. So we read in Acts about the sense that the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord occurs at the end of time. And there was a sense with all the craziness going on in the world that big change was happening. Now we can look at the world around us, and I think it's a lot better than it was for the Israelites living in Judea 2,000 years ago. But we can say the world's messed up. We can imagine that something is going to come and straighten it out. There is no one who's going to show up and take care of our problems. Let me say that again. There is nobody here on earth who is going to come and take care of our problems. Not Donald Trump, not Joe Biden, not Robert F. Kennedy Jr., nobody. So what are we supposed to do? Well, one suggestion would be Holy Spirit's work in our lives. And yes, it's easy for us to find ways to box the Spirit out, to ignore it, to be distracted, get caught up online. Or as we get older, to watch TV. But the church is a gift. And the church is a place where the Holy Spirit should be present. And when we come to church, and many of you are here week in and week out, you can feel that presence. And the way the church makes a difference is by helping out. So at the very beginning, we're told in Acts chapter 1, there are 120 people or so who showed up. And by the end of Pentecost, that number had exploded to 3,000. Now, we keep the door open for a couple of reasons. One is the weather's nice outside. Two is I prefer to look out at the grass and the blossoms on the trees than look at the brown door. And third is who knows who might hear what's going on? Who knows who might be drawn into this place? Now, there are people who like to tell me how we should do things. We ought to have modern music. Sorry, Ernie. But would you be coming here if we changed up the music every Sunday? Would you want to see a praise band? Would you want to see a pastor dressed in skinny jeans? That is what you get in a lot of places. And apparently it works in some communities. But I think this church works because we like to care for one another. And we also like to help out our community. I'm not going to beat the drum about what good ministry we have with the backdoor ministry. But your gifts do continue to help people. And think about it. There was nobody in the church at the beginning. It was just Jesus traveling around with these 12 disciples. And crowds came to hear him preach. And apparently many of them were interested in what he had to say. Until Pilate asked the community who he should pardon. Jesus or Barabbas, the criminal. And scripture tells us that the crowd voted for the criminal. Now see the crowd, not the Jews, the crowd. Because it was people like us. And we know that in the ancient world, people saw gods as being powerful deities who lived up in the heavens. And they often sacrificed them because they wanted to get something back. Rain, healthy cattle, riches. And the gods did not care about people. And so all of a sudden, this little sect within Judaism began to travel around the community and share the message of the Bible, of the Jewish Bible, that the God of the universe cares about people, that God cares about each of us. And imagine living in a world where there are no social services, where the poor and the marginalized are left out in the cold, literally, and nobody can care for them. And then imagine there's a sect preaching that God cares about people. Now, the vast majority of people in the Roman Empire were marginalized people. They were outsiders. I can't imagine that people here spend much time thinking about themselves as inhabitants of the Roman Empire. But if you did, how would you imagine yourself living? Would you imagine yourself being a peasant? Having no money? through crummy accommodations? Or you like to think that you were one of the powerful, that you were one of the wealthy? No one wants to think that they are without resources. And a church that cares for the poor is a church that was able to explode. And with the Big Bang, it exploded. So from 3,000 adherents at the end of the first Pentecost, the church spread across the Roman Empire. And we know how it changed the Roman Empire. And the church continues to spread until this day. So I said in the children's moment, why haven't people gotten the message? Why haven't the people understood what God is about? Well, we've done a pretty good job of making the waters muddy. The church has done a pretty good job of taking care of itself. And the church has done a pretty good job of alienating people. But that doesn't mean that the message of Scripture is not true. It doesn't mean that the message of Scripture cannot be trusted. Because the message of Scripture is that God loves you. It's that simple. And I'll say that to you again and again, week after week, because we cannot hear that enough. Okay, you go home. I'm glad to see you all still sitting in the pews. But what if I told you to leave and to go out and spread the word? To be evangelists through your actions? Would you tell your neighbors to come to church? To volunteer for a program at the church? Or maybe you don't like to talk about religion. Would you get them involved in the community? So, a few days ago, three of us actually showed up from the church to volunteer to pick mustard garlic weed along the rail trail. We were taking care of our community. And I'd like to think I'm young and spry, but I'm not as young and spry as I used to be. And after a while, I could feel my bones. It hurt to bend down and pick up those weeds. But they do not belong here. And if I didn't do it, who was going to? So I give thanks to Deb and to Dawn for showing up and spearheading this effort. And next time we do something like that, I hope we get some more people to participate. But there's been talk again about reviving the community dinner program. And we're not looking for the mission committee to own this project. We're looking for all of you to volunteer to participate. And those of you who have worked those days, remember those days long before the pandemic? There was a world pre-COVID. And we'd get a good crowd show up for dinner. And the people who worked those meals, I think, had a good experience. You'd work in the kitchen, you'd bring out the food, you'd collect the dishes as they were finished with. There's a job for everyone. And we were known as a church that helped the community. That kind of message is what drove the spread of the early church. People taking care of people, acting as God's hands and feet and eyes in the community. It's a big job, but I think we're up to it. So maybe we're looking for a fresh spirit. I had we should do to rejuvenate the church universal. I read a book with some millions of copies, and I wouldn't be here on Sundays because I've been touring churches around the country, telling them the secrets of success. But I do not know the secret to success. All I know is what I have learned over the years. And I have learned what's in Scripture. And I have come to know you. There are people in these pews here who have volunteered year in and year out. And you know who you are. And if you're not one of those people, what's keeping you back? Is it your own hesitancy? Or have the barriers been put up to block you from joining in? I'm not going to ask you to give me an answer to those questions right now, but think about it. Think about how you might be called to help God's church and to help God's community. Because the universe is not going to end tomorrow, as far as I know. And there's still a lot of work for us to do. And there are a lot of people for us to care for. And this church has been blessed with financial resources and also with human resources. A phrase I never really liked when I was in the work world. I never liked being thought of as a resource like natural resources. But you people have gifts and skills to contribute to the whole. And yes, it's great to hear you on Sunday mornings. I was talking with someone the other day about worship online, and I'm glad we offer it, and I'm glad you're able to participate with us from wherever you are, Zoom Islanders. But there is something magical about hearing of collective voices in the sanctuary. And though our choir is not large, we are blessed with a great choir. And hearing them sing, and hearing all of you in the pews sing, is a gift. And it's a reflection of God's beauty. So, I'm going to do what I said I should do. I'm going to make this all about us. We don't have a big sheet cake out in the parish hall. But we do have donut holes. And we do have coffee. And most importantly, we will have one another. And I give thanks that each of you are here today, not at home, cursing at your television set as you watch the latest Sunday morning TV news program. You could be working in your garden. Maybe you're off at a lake. Those are fine places to be, but they're not church. But I will tell you this. The Holy Spirit does not live in this building. The Holy Spirit cannot be captured by the four walls of First Congregational Church of London, nor of the Methodist Church, nor of the Baptist Church, nor of Riverbank Church, nor of any other church or worshiping community in the world. The Holy Spirit is in all of these places. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. But the Holy Spirit is also with you individually. Now, I can try to explain how that works to you. I can't. That is one of the mysteries of our faith. And my hope is that you can live with that mystery and know it is true. Because you might be thinking, why should I believe any of this? Well, if you're willing to accept the fact that the universe started with nothing and then has expanded to all of the glory we can see today, not just on Earth, but we can see images from the Webb telescope. The universe is a pretty neat place. And you might say, oh, well, that's because we're here. Because we can imagine it all. Well, guess what? We may have a pretty high opinion of ourselves, but I suspect the whales don't. And they're swimming around and they're singing whale songs. And I suspect if we actually knew what they were saying, we would be stunned that most of it has nothing to do with any of us. And then the little bit that does is probably not very vibrant. God made the whales and the dolphins and the pandas and the dogs and the alligators and all the creatures in the universe. Not just on this planet, all the creatures everywhere. And God made the moon and the planets and the stars. And you might say, well, there's no evidence that God did any of that. Well, I think the existence of God who created the universe makes as much sense as the notion that one Tuesday morning there was nothing out there anywhere, and then everything just boom, exploded. But we're here. We're here. And my hope is that we give thanks to God for endowments of the Holy Spirit, who is still present with us today, and will be present with us tomorrow, and with our neighbors, and everyone in the world. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of the Spirit, and we thank you for the gift of the Church. We thank you for the way people from across the Mediterranean world heard your message and spread that message throughout the world. In Jesus' name we pray.